want to acknowledge you as a spiritual community for having the collective consciousness to have attracted Paul Gagné as your spiritual leader. In RSI, yes. I've known Paul for many years, and for many years I actually served on the board of directors with Kennedy Schultz many years ago, and for International Centers for Spiritual Living. And this center, this spiritual community, has always been regarded as one of the crown jewels in the crown of International Centers for Spiritual Living, and I just want you to know how valued you are in the organization. On many occasions, we tried to get Paul to come on to the board of directors, and because we valued his opinion. And on a number of occasions, he basically said, no, I'd rather be spending that time and energy with my own spiritual community. That's the truth. But we always turned to him for opinions, and the fact is that he would offer them whether we asked or not. So let's get down to it. The title of my lesson is based on my book, The Art of Being, 101 Ways to Practice Purpose in Your Life. And I can summarize it with a very brief, consolidated version of the creation story, Reader's Digest version of the creation story by Dennis Merritt Jones. Are you ready? You have to dial in. You have to listen because it's pretty quick and it's intense and it's deep. In the beginning, there was only God. Still is. The end. Thank you. So, some people say, can you take that a little deeper? Expand on that just a little bit. And I said, so sure, here it is. In the beginning, there was only God, and God so fully desired to know itself, to experience itself, to express its own divine nature, that the only way it could do it is to think itself into form. And if you turn and look at the person next to you, you'll see there it is, the divinity of the one, giving individuated form to the one. Now, the fact is, if you really want to look at this on a metaphoric basis, if you can imagine in the beginning only God, this great no thing, which is the great all things, speaking to itself. And it takes little globlets of itself and individuates itself and calls these little selves soul beings. And God is speaking to itself by nature, by means of these soul beings. And God is saying, soul beings, I'm going to send you on a mission. You have a purpose. Your purpose is, you see that little planet way down in the corner of the galaxy, way over there called planet Earth. Your mission is to go there, and your purpose is to go there and be me. Now, in order to accomplish this mission, you will be given a uniform. It's called a body. Treat it well, it's only you're going to get for this mission. And by the way, you'll also be given a personality, by means of which you'll create interesting and dynamic experiences through which you will learn to evolve and grow into the loving being that I'm sending you there to be. And then he says, the last thing he says, God sends us on our way, and the last thing God says before we enter the light and we show up here, God says, by the way, you're going to forget all of this conversation. And so here we are. Here we are. In this, you would not be sitting in this spiritual community at this moment in time if there was not something stirring within you that is calling you home, reminding you of who you really are, who you truly are, which is, of course, that spiritual being coming here to have the human experience. You know, the universe is an interesting thing. This I know by studying the science of mind for a quarter of a century, more than that, 30 years. The universe conspires to take care of that which is on purpose. The universe conspires to take care of that which is living, being on purpose. And in the process of living the purpose that we've come here to live, to be, which is to be that vessel through which, but most importantly, as which, the Infinite One finds expression. When we're in that place, living in that manner, life unfolds for us and takes care of us. In other words, we create a life worth living. You all interested in deepening your awareness of what a life worth living looks like? Socrates put it right before us. What did he say? the unexamined life is not worth living. So if we were willing to explore this idea of purpose and being and examine our purpose for being here, every avatar, every teacher throughout antiquity has given us four basic questions to explore. First one, I know you've all thought of this before. Who am I? Can I get a witness for that one? Second one, where did I come from? The third question, and this is probably where most of us get hung up, what am I doing here? And the fourth question, of course, is when I leave here, where am I going to go? Now, of course, if we really believe, as Ernest Holmes taught and teachers throughout the ages have taught, that God is all there is, the answer to all four of those questions is, yeah, God. Who am I? Well, I am the individuation of the One. Where did I come from? I come from the One. What am I doing here? I'm here to be it. Where am I going to go when I leave here? I'm going to go back into the ethers from which I came. Nothing changes but form. Nothing changes but form. And the truth is, when we come to this realization that we are the One being it in the manifest form here, we realize that we are on a journey of a lifetime. From the day we hit the sheets until the day we leave the planet, we're on a spiritual journey of a lifetime. And the truth is, when you really realize that God is all there is, you are on a journey to a place you never really left. But we struggle. Oh, God. How have any of you here ever struggled to have the spiritual experience? You couldn't be any more spiritual if you tried. You're 100% spirit. The only thing you can be is more aware of it. See, spirituality is simply the practice of the awareness of the presence of God. When I do that, that means hallelujah or yes. You get a little body language here, all right? So this idea of we think we have to do something or go someplace or somehow achieve some other beingness than where we are in order to have that spiritual experience. There's a great story that sets this metaphor up. There was a student sitting on the riverbank, and he really wanted to have that spiritual experience. And he was chanting. And he was saying, I am one with God. 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 And he was passionate about it. He was chanting away. And soon, a master teacher, Paul Gagné, walks by. And the teacher observes the student chanting, I am one with God, I am one with God, trying to have that spiritual experience. And the master comes up, sits next to him, and he picks up his begging bowl in one hand and his walking stick in the other hand, and he goes, this is my bowl, this is my stick, this is my bowl, this is my stick, this is my bowl, this is my stick. Very calmly, just very assuredly, this is my bowl, this is my stick. And the student looks at him and he starts chanting louder, I am one with God, I am one with God. The master continues, this is my bowl, this is my stick, this is my bowl. Soon the student stops. He says, all right already, can't you see I'm trying to have a spiritual experience here? Any fool can see that that's your bowl and that's your stick. And of course the master says, and any fool can see you already are having a spiritual experience. You are a spiritual experience. Why are you trying to be so hard that which you already are? And there's our story, isn't it? We struggle. We think that we have to arrive at a certain point in time in order to be on purpose. You ever seen the heartbeat monitor in the hospitals, the pulse rate monitor goes beep, 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 like on an EKG? What does that mean, you guys? Beep, 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 beep. That's a good sign, yes? What does this mean? Beep. Not a good sign. Now, it's a great metaphor because beep, beep, highs and lows. There's as much God at the top of the mountain peak as there is in the darkest, loneliest, coldest valley times. Have you ever been stuck in the valley? It's easy to remember the presence of God when there's nothing but blue skies and green light and love and peace and everything is wonderful, yes? But what happens when we're in the valley and we tend to go unconscious because of pain and the darkness, the fear, etc.? Is there any less God there? See, the art of being is remembering that there's as much presence in both of those places. Our dear friend, Dr. Tom Costa, used to say, yay, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I don't have to build a condo there. That was Tom, if you knew Tom. But we get stuck. We get stuck in the valleys. But we have to realize there's as much presence there as there is in the peak moments. The key is to learn to remember to remember. Remember to be. That we're going to explore that this afternoon in the workshop at 2:00. By the way, giving you really good mindfulness tools of how to be present in the moment, irrespective of what you're doing, where you are, 24/7, whatever you're doing, to experience the presence of God. You know what happens when you experience the presence of God? That peace that passes all understanding. That's what we're all seeking. You know, we spend our entire lives learning how to do. We spend our entire lives learning how to accomplish. It's a very linear thing. We start here and we see the horizon down there, and we've got to do all these things in order to arrive at a point where we have that sense of peace. After we get married, get divorced, get spoused, get educated, whatever it is, and yet we spend the first 30 years of our life being indoctrinated to do that. But we're never taught how to be. How to be. Be present in the moment. There's three questions that I'd like to offer you that you can use as a litmus test that will help you explore how well you're doing at being. Doing, being. Thank you. The first question that you can ask yourself is this: am I having fun? Am I having fun? Now, here's the point. When you're having fun, what do you become a vessel of? Joy. Joy is one of the highest expressions and experiences of the divine. Am I having fun? Where do you have to be in order to have fun? I did this talk a couple months ago in Hawaii, and I asked that question, where are you when you're having fun? Some guy in the back said, we're at the beach, dude. Of course, that's a good answer, but it's not the answer I was looking for. The answer is we're in the present moment. Think about it. When you're having fun, your mind's not someplace else, is it? When you're having fun, you're in the present moment. That's where you'll find joy, in the present moment. Breathe. We'll do a lot of that this afternoon. Present moment mindedness. Great example of how our minds want our bodies to be someplace other than in the present moment. You know, wherever you go, there you are. I was on an airplane flight from Burbank to Las Vegas. It's a number of years ago. This is actually a story out of my book. And we just were arriving over Las Vegas, and the pilot comes on. He says, ladies and gentlemen, this is Paul Gagné, your pilot. I had to do that. I'm sorry, Paul. And the pilot says, we've got some good news for you and some bad news for you. The good news is we're just about over Las Vegas. And everybody goes, yay, because that's the party plane. Everybody's going to Vegas to gamble. Have fun. And they said, now the bad news is they've closed down all the runways except one because of high desert winds, and so we're going to be stacked up here circling the city for a short time before we can get into land. Well, that short time turned into 45 minutes. And no sooner did he say, by the way, please fasten your seat belts because it's going to be a rough ride because of the high winds. No sooner did he say that, and of course the plane started doing this. Hitting those air currents where it bounces up and down. And it after about 5 minutes of that, you can see people starting to white knuckle. They were flying the plane. You ever get assistance from people flying the plane in the back like that? and about 10 minutes into it, this is like it was getting to be like a roller coaster ride at Magic Mountain or Disneyland or whatever your local theme park is here. And of course the inevitable happened. You know what that is, don't you? Somebody fully utilized their air sickness container device. And then, of course, other people, it inspired other people to do the same. And pretty soon, it became a very unpleasant place to be. And all of a sudden, the plane dips again and rises, and I hear this, whee! Coming from up in front of the plane. I couldn't believe it. The plane dipped again, and I hear this, whee! And there's this little, this young woman, about four aisles up on the left-hand side, this woman, young lady, holding this toddler in her arms. And every time the plane bucked or dipped or rose, this little boy would go, whee, and throw his hands up. Do that with me. Come on. Whee! One more time. Now feel it. Whee! Done that. Where are you right now? You're not wishing or thinking you're someplace else. You're present in the moment. That's the point of that story. See, I looked at him and I thought, what does he know that I don't know? Because I want some of that. And what I got was it's not really what he knew. It's what he didn't know. See, he wasn't told. He wasn't taught to fear the ride. His mind didn't want his body someplace else. Everybody else on the plane wanted their body to be on the ground. He was enjoying the moment, okay? Because he wasn't taught to fear it. He wasn't taught to fear it. How much time do we spend fearing the future or regretting the past, and that's where our mind is, it's not with our bodies? Amen.
Amen.
All right. I was with Mitch, my brother Mitch Johnson in Nashville last Sunday, so I guess I got a little of the Nashville thing going. Be present. Be that vessel for joy. And you'll realize that you are on purpose. Being present in the moment is where Spirit shows up. It cannot show up tomorrow or yesterday. It's always a holy instant experience. You with me? Second question that you can ask yourself. Am I growing every day? Am I growing every day? What do living things do? What do dying things do? They die. You know, Ernest Holmes really nailed this one on the head about being on purpose, being the place where God finds expression. He called this energy, this infinite intelligence, he referred to it as the creative divine urge. And that creative divine urge, he says, is permeating all living things. And it's pushing out through all living things, saying, I've got to grow. I've got to be more today than I was yesterday. Take a look at your fingernails. Are they more today than they were yesterday? Take a look at things in nature, things that are pushing out, the way nature works. Everything that's alive is pushing out. It's becoming more than it was yesterday. So here's the question for you. Are you growing on a daily basis? If you're fulfilling your purpose, you will be growing. You'll find a way to grow on a daily basis. Why don't we grow? That's a question. This is audience participation time. Why don't we grow? We get stuck in the box, yes? Isn't it comfortable in the box of the known? Yeah, the dead zone is really what it is. In order to grow, we have to come to the edge of the box and step into the unknown. You realize there's no growth in the field of the known. Why? Because if you're creating something out of the known, you're creating another version of the known. And so if you really want to create something new, you have to step into I don't know. That's the working title for my next book, The Art of I Don't Know. That's where creation takes place. It's where authentic creation takes place. So you have to reinvent who you are every day, some aspect, if you want to grow, continue to be. So have you ever seen a pot or a plant that was root-bound? What's going on with you pull a pot that's root-bound out of the plant? It's the roots are doing what? They're growing in, right? And it's choking itself off, yes? And so if you were to repot that plant, you'd put it in a bigger pot, would you not? A bigger pot, so what? So the roots could grow out. Yes? So in order to repot your... When I left my spiritual community, as Paul said, in July of last year, after 23 years, founded that center, and I realized that I had reached a point where I wasn't having fun anymore, and I realized that I wasn't growing. And therefore, guess what? The church wasn't growing either. We had kind of plateaued, a wonderful spiritual community, but we weren't expanding. And I really got it. It was time for me to repot myself. And that's what I've been doing for the last year. And you know what? I had not a clue last July that I'd be standing here in Atlanta speaking to you this morning. You're getting better. Sometimes growth requires that we pull off some of the labels. Have you realized how many labels that were stuck on you from the day you were born? And growing, sometimes we have to peel off the labels. Maybe it's not asking the question, who am I, but who am I not? Maybe I'm not who my parents told me I was, or my Sunday school teacher, or whoever was the field of influence in my life. Maybe I'm not those things. And as I peel off the labels that were stuck on me, I begin to peel off, like going to the core of the onion, I peel it away and I get down to the great no thing, which is the great everything, which is the very essence of the divine. And so I start to build a new identity from that point. And wow, does that cause growth? And watch out, the minute you start growing authentically, you'll piss some people off. Usually they're called family. Get over it. All right, so am I having fun? Am I growing every day? Take a look at where you're maybe resisting growth in your life. If you're not growing, there's a part of you that's dying. If your relationships are not growing, there's a part of your relationships that are dying. If this spiritual community is not growing, there's a part of it that begins to wither up and die. And so you take who you are and you grow in the world and you grow spiritually. You take that into the world and you enrich the world and you come back into this spiritual community and you've grown. And so what happens to this spiritual community as you grow? You better be ready for that because it's happening. Okay. Third question that you can ask yourself every day. Am I lifting others? Am I serving others? Am I extending myself to those around me and taking them with me? Am I lifting them with me? You know, there's a great, and it's not hard to know whether you're doing that or not. You just have to look at who you're hanging out with. There's a great analogy in the fishing community, how the fishermen catch these big crabs in baskets. They lower a basket down to the floor of the ocean. And the crabs will crawl into it looking for food or shelter. And soon there will be a dozen crabs in the basket. And one of them will try to get out, reach, pull its claw up, and try to pull itself out. And the others will pull it back down. And if it tries again, they'll pull it back down and pull off its claws. Folks, we all have crabs in our lives. it's too early for that one, isn't it, Paul? I got that. Yeah. We have. There's people in our lives who are puller downers. There's people in our lives who are lifter uppers. Which ones are you hanging out with? Yes. And when you hang out with lifter uppers, you become a lifter upper, and all of a sudden you realize it's not all just about you. It is about each of us here. You know, in the East, there's this beautiful term called seva. It's a Sanskrit word. What it means is selfless service dedicated to God. And when we enter into seva, we realize that every person that we serve, every person we extend ourselves to, is really offering us another opportunity to serve the divine. And you know what? It doesn't take big acts to do that. It might be as simple as just standing in line at Starbucks and the person behind you may be having a really bad day and is voicing that opinion, or at the bank, and maybe two or three words out of your mouth is all that person needs that day of encouragement to turn their life around that day. It can be that small. It can be that small of a thing. And so if you're growing on a daily basis and you realize that somebody once said that God is a great trickster because God does it all with mirrors. We know there's only one of us here, yes? Take a look around. If there's only one of us here, and I look into your eyes, and I remember there's only one of us here, and I stay anchored in that purpose, being aware of that truth, whose eyes am I looking into? Everywhere I look, I see the face of God. He's on his way to Las Vegas. Yeah. Whee! Everywhere I look, I see the face of God. Take a breath. Not just in the people you like or the ones that are pleasant to be around with. Everywhere I look, I see the face of God. And when I see the face of God, I'm inclined to extend myself and love it and lift it and serve it and honor it with reverence. And you know what? At the end of the day, when you knock on heaven's door, which of course we know is a metaphor because heaven and hell is where? It's a one thought away. Yeah. But when we do leave this planet, I truly believe we'll be asked two questions. It's kind of, again, that litmus test to see if we've done what we came here to do. The first question is, did you love well? Did you love well? Every person in front of us, another opportunity to love well. Another opportunity to practice why we came here. The second question will be asked, and I truly believe this too. Is the planet a better place today than it was the day you got there because you were there? And if you can answer yes to both of those questions, you will know that you have been on purpose. You have been on your purpose. Have fun. Be the vessel of joy. Present moment. Bring your mind where your body is. Again, we'll cover those things this afternoon in great detail in the workshop. Grow every day. Expand yourself. Get into a class. Do something that causes you to become more of who you came here to be. And then share that with the world. Lift others. Share with others. Extend yourself to others. And you know what? In that holy instant, you will know. You will have stepped through the portal, and you will have been the one who has brought heaven to earth. That is why you're here. That is being on purpose. Typically, I like to close my talks with a prayer, but today what I'd like to do is offer that prayer to you in song. This is a song that I'm quite sure you all know, and I invite you to sing with me whenever you're led to. But can you imagine your life and the lives of those around you when we each live our lives with that deeply focused purpose of being the one here now? Imagine there's no heaven. It's easy if you try. No hell below us. Above us, only sky. And imagine all the people living for today. And imagine there's no countries. It isn't hard to do. Nothing to kill or die for. And no religion too. And imagine all the people living life in peace. You may say that I'm a dreamer. Oh, but I'm not the only one. I know someday you'll join us, and the world will be as one. And imagine no possessions. I wonder if we can. No need for greed or hunger. A true brotherhood of man. Breathe with me now. And imagine all the people sharing all the world. Sing with me. You may say that I'm a dreamer. Oh, but I'm not the only one. I know someday you'll join us, and the world will be as one. Take a deep breath. Just imagine a world on purpose. And so it is. Thank you.
Thank you, Dennis, very, very much. It's always